Welcome back to Sidewalk Skyline Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Rogers. If you watch these episodes on my YouTube channel, just look up Kevin Rogers, find my YouTube channel, and you can get the advantage of some of the visuals. Particularly in last episode and this one, where I'm in conversation with Maureen Blair. There's some on-the-street footage in downtown Paris, where Maury reminisces about a very difficult childhood that was transformed by Jesus. Let's go to Maury's kitchen table now and continue my conversation with him. So Maury, you had a very broken life, and God took the broken pieces and he recreated you, yeah. He reformed you, he reshaped you into this jar of clay that sure. He could put his treasure into.
That's right.
But your brokenness, your scars became your testimony.
Yes, that's right.
You know, so then you have had a lifetime of walking with very broken people that experience things very similar to what you did.
Yeah.
And when we begin to see the effects of trauma, the effects of addiction, and the effects of that hopelessness, many times there can be a very visible expression of the enemy's work, spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And as you've journeyed with people and encountered spiritual warfare, talk about what deliverance looks like.
Yeah.
Talk about how there can be a demonic stronghold that just is so hard to break.
Yes. I was up in Russia, in Siberia, and I went to a maximum security penitentiary, and they were bringing the guys in. And I had an interpreter, and as they came in, I noticed this one big guy. He didn't look very happy. I thought, boy, he wants to be here. But anyway, he sat down, and I got up, and they introduced me, and I began to share my life. All of a sudden, this guy jumps to his feet in a rage, and he says, "Why the hell didn't you kill him?" And I looked at him, and the guards are alert, and I said, "If I'd have killed him, I'd be where you are." And he just looked at me, kind of stunned. And he sat down quietly, and all the guards all alert. So I went through my story and talked about the pain and the agony. And at the end of the service, the guard came and said, "He wants to talk to you. Will you talk to him?" I said, "Sure." He said, "He's down the last cell on the block. We'll go with you. We'll stay right outside the cell and watch to make sure in case he explodes, because he's a violent man. And were you going to talk to him?" I said, "Yes, I will." So he took me down. I looked in there. He's sitting like this, just... And I thought, wow. So I went in, I just sat down beside him. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Not very good." I said, he said, "Do you know what was mattering in there?" I said, "Yeah, I think I do." He said, "What?" I said, "You were a victim of child abuse, weren't you?" He said, "Who told you that? Who told you that?" I said, Nobody. But the way you reacted gave me a message that you went through something as similar as I. And he kind of hung his head, and I talked with him for a little bit. He told me how that he finally got so fed up. He came home and his stepfather was sleeping, and he got a baseball bat, and he walked in and he bashed his face so it was mush on the pillow. And he said, "Then I just walked out of there, I got him." I said, "So you killed him. Did you feel better about it?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You took his life and you got your vengeance, but you're paying for it. Are you in here for life?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "See, you took your vengeance, you're paying for it. I forgave my stepfather. I walked away a free man in Jesus Christ." He just looked at me like he'd never heard anything like this before, eh? So we sat and chatted for a while. Then, of course, I knew I had to go, and I said, "Well, I've got to go." I said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" He said, "Yes, I would." So I just took his big hand in mine, and we prayed, and I asked God to help him, make him realize that he's loved by the Lord, and God cares for him. I got up to leave, and he said, "Can I give you a hug?" I said, "Sure." Brutal arms went around me, and he hugged me. And I thought, oh, if he'd been mad, he could have crushed me like a bug. Hugged me, and I said, "God bless you." He said, "Thanks for coming." I said, "Okay." I walked out. I never saw him again. I just turned back and gave him a thumbs up and walked out. Never saw him again, never heard another thing because he was in a big prison. I thought, there's a guy who just needed to hear that God can touch you even where you are. And like I said to him, there's help here. There's chaplains here. They'll help you here. They invited me here today. Mm-hmm. Talk, you talk to them. You tell them you'd like to talk further about this. I said, you can get some help for your life. And of course, I left him a book. Mm-hmm. And so it was in the German, in the Russian language.
Yeah.
So it was good. I got that. At least I was able to touch his life.
Yeah.
And maybe someone else will come along and fulfill it. You know?
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's what God does, isn't it?
Yeah.
Usually spark and someone else comes in. And, but that's wonderful. I'm mm-hmm. thankful to God for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many opportunities like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Reconstructed
everything, yeah.
So what was the restaurant called that your mother ran?
Just Gil's Bar or whatever.
Yeah.
Never did have a fancy name for it.
Yeah.
And all our friends would come in and we'd give them free coffees and drinks and
yeah.
Not when the old man was there, we didn't. Now, that's when he started to get ill.
Yeah.
He couldn't keep functioning. So yeah.
And you used to live upstairs?
You lived upstairs.
Yeah.
Upstairs, yeah.
Today in your life, what grieves your heart the most?
I guess what grieves my heart the most is looking at our hopelessly lost world, the violence, the abuse for children and women, and the disdain for God and His Word, the shutdown of our society to Christians. Everything else is okay, but not Christians. And I think, like, what has happened to us? Whose fault is that? Has the church stopped witnessing? Have we just become a place of entertainment? What is the body of Christ doing? We should be living right, caring. I'm not against music. I love it. But be careful what we present. If you're going to bring them in entertainment and they're happy to go home, then not come for another week and that's it. But we're trying to sow the seed of God's love into their hearts. And that's the thing that disturbs me the most. I turn TV on and see some of these services and I think, I was talking to you about the murder. And I think, like, how does that message get through to them? Everything's positive. Everything's cool. Everything's great. No, it's not. It's a difficult life we're living here. It's a Christian demon. It's a very difficult life. And you've got to have your eyes and attention on Jesus and follow Him with a passion. You got to. That's the only way to meet it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things I think that probably disturb me the most. And I'm not trying to be negative and I'm not trying to be critical, but I just think we've got to have the love of God flowing through our lives. Got to. Got to.
Maury, after walking with the Lord for several years and growing in Him, and we might even saying successfully walking with the Lord.
Sure, sure.
You know, your family was intact, your marriage was intact, your life was intact, you didn't crash and burn. But everybody goes through times in their life when there's going to be an extreme challenge or a low point or just a dead end where you say, "Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here."
Yeah, exactly.
And did you have any of those times and seasons in your life? And what did you learn through that?
Yeah, I learned when the Teen Challenge was in Toronto, where I was at, and I was directing it, and I started Breakthrough as an outreach.
Breakthrough Ministries, yeah.
So, and it was going good, and then it came up as a problem because the government was funding Teen Challenge, and they didn't like the idea of Breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so finally it came to the point where I could no longer do both because it just wouldn't work. So I said, well, okay, I'll back off from Teen Challenge, I'll just go with Breakthrough. And I had no idea what was going to happen with Breakthrough because I had some support, but not enough to carry it and to keep us going. So I had to go before the Lord and just say, "Lord, if you're done with me, I guess this is the time I have to slow down, just do what I can on the side." And but the doors began to open for radio broadcasts, for videos and different things. And all of a sudden, everything changed. And all of a sudden, I was going like full tilt. And I was away, and Bev was saying, well, you're going again. I got to go. And raised our salary and raised our support. And everything changed. And it wasn't that I was trying to promote me, but it was, we're touching people's lives.
It's about the mission.
That's the mission, yeah. And all of a sudden, just mushroomed and started. And now it's come to the point where we're like, we're all over the world. That's wonderful. This can help us too. Like, you never know where he's going to lead you or guide you, but you know, you got to trust him. You got to throw your life into his hands and trust him. You seek the Lord, you find him, and you trust him and let him take care of the future. Mm-hmm. And it's not very easy to do sometimes when you're rearing to go and you got nowhere to go. It's
yeah.
tough, yeah.
It's you're tough. Revving the engine and the red light's
yeah,
not
yeah,
changing.
Yeah. Nothing's changing, yeah. So you just have to learn to adjust. And when he's through with your mission, you'll know. You'll back off, you'll know.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that way at all. I just feel like I've got to keep going.
Yeah.
Got to keep reaching out and touching lives, yeah.
You know, I feel that way too. I've
sure.
been pastoring in the church that I started, and it's been 30 years.
Yeah.
And I just said to somebody the other day, I said, you know, I still feel like it's all new and fresh and like I'm just getting started.
Yep.
And that joy that the Lord gives
yeah.
in serving him.
Yep.
But, you know, there's also times when that was a shift point, right?
Yep.
It was not knowing what was around the corner.
Exactly.
And just trusting the Lord through it.
Yep.
There are other times, though, when you know, somebody close to you might betray you.
Yeah.
Or do something horrible and you just grieve so much
sure,
because
sure.
of their failure.
Yep.
Any of those kinds of experiences that you've been through where you were just ripped apart by...
I don't think I really had that in the sense that, well, I was heartbroken that King Challenge couldn't go forward with
mm-hmm.
this umbrella of Breakthrough Ministries.
Yeah.
But I never felt that, I don't know, I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense?
Yeah.
But my work was not in-house in the church setting. It was on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm outhouse, not in-house. I just felt that was where I was to go. So I didn't feel like, I might get all kinds of criticism, but I paid no attention at all because I knew I had a call, determination to fulfill that call, and I was going for it. At
yeah.
all, whatever the risk, I was going. So, and the Lord helped me. He really did.
Yeah.
Encouraged me. Yep.
He really gave you a free spirit.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Yep.
Yeah. What about regrets? Do you have any regrets?
I'm trying to think. I guess I feel sad sometimes that I had to leave Bev and leave her with the kids and she had to take care of them and I had to go. If I didn't go, I didn't get any salary. I had to go.
Yeah.
So, but yet, it hasn't hurt our girls. Our girls are still close. Everything's, you know.
Yeah.
And they're always concerned about me. You know, Dad, be careful where you're going. How much you
yeah,
don't know.
I know. We had that. You had that phone call this morning. Your daughter was telling you, make sure you drink lots of water. Stay hydrated, Dad.
Yeah,
right?
Stay hydrated, Dad.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're constantly just keeping an
look
eye.
Look what you created.
Yeah, look what I created.
Or maybe Bev created.
Bev probably did, yeah. So anyway, and they'll say, be careful. And don't go too much walking. You got to be careful. Oh. So
yeah.
I listen to them, and I appreciate that. They're thinking of my well-being.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And but I know I have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Maury, I meet people all the time that have had terrible childhood traumas, been victimized, have suffered terrible things. And some, their mental state has been so fractured. Some, their history almost becomes their identity.
Yeah.
And some are seeing counselors and getting different kinds of therapy.
Yep.
For most of their life.
Yep.
Your transformation was a little more accelerated, I think.
Yes.
You know, when you encountered Jesus, the light on the inside just dispelled so much darkness.
Yes.
But at the same time, as a messenger of that light, of the goodness of Jesus, you talked to many, many, many people that had those early traumatic experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the things that you've seen over the last 60 years that consistently are in place for people that are overcoming trauma and abuse?
Yeah, the sad thing about some of them is that they can't let it go. They wear a mask, they don't want anybody to know, and they won't talk about it.
Yeah.
So they go all the way through their lives carrying that history, and it's determining their life, determining their attitudes, determining their actions, and it ruins them. It cuts them off from anybody wanting to be around them.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with those issues, and the only one that can help you deal with those issues, I'm convinced, is not a counselor, but it's the living Christ who will set you. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so you have to encounter Christ, have that experience with him, because otherwise you'll carry that monkey on your back and it'll destroy you.
Yeah.
It'll lead at you all the way through your life. Mm. And you'll always react to certain circumstances. You'll always be nasty, you'll be mad, or you'll don't want to talk about it. And so it's sad, but they're trapped.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to be free is through Jesus, really.
Yeah.
When you think about it, it's the only way you can get free. So I feel sorry for them, and I try to stretch myself and be as kind as I can and never cut them off, but they have to deal with it. And they have to face the issues. And I don't want to talk about it because my family will be upset. That's too bad for your family to be upset, but you've got to be free. You've got to be free. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy.
There's also people through your years at Teen Challenge, through many different kinds of interactions.
Yeah.
People that have dealt with great consequence, great loss, moral failure, criminality, divorce, becoming a pariah, child abusers. What's your message for the rest of us when dealing with the pariah?
Yeah.
Dealing with the outcast, the person who has everything going against them because of their situation, past.
Yeah. I say to them, you've got to bring that past, all that pain, all that agony, and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You've got to take it to him. You've got to take off the mask, quit pretending that everything's cool, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to just settle down, bow your heart before the Lord. And there's lots of good Christian counselors available. There's a lot of good people who sit with you and pray with you. And you've got to, but it comes down to the final analysis. It's you and God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring yourself to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I've had it. I can't take anymore. I just cannot live like this. Don't. Bring it to him. Don't kill yourself. Don't quit suicide. No. Bring your life to Jesus. Take the risk. Take the risk and present yourself to God and see what God will do for you. And you'll be surprised how many different people come into your life that can minister to you and touch you and encourage you. Don't trap yourself in the bondage. Set yourself free at the feet of Jesus, and in prayer and the Word, he'll set you free. He will set you free.
I think a distinctive difference in your case was that everything that trauma and abuse had hollowed out of you became open territory for the Spirit to fill.
Holy Spirit to fill. Yeah.
And so for you, the infilling, constant refilling of the Holy Spirit
kept me alive and going.
Yeah.
Oh, when I think about the hunger I had to seek his face, to walk with him, to fellowship with him, it drove me in the night hours. I'm up praying, I'm up reading. I mean, I just couldn't help it.
Yeah.
And that's what it had done to me. So I pursued it with a passion. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And it's paid off. It really has.
Mm-hmm. People in trauma, people being confused by life and by the world.
Yeah.
Confused about God. There's a lot of things that can contribute.
Mm-hmm.
So when we encounter friends, family members, strangers that are dealing with sexual confusion, sexual identity. You know, we. How do you approach it when you're caring about somebody and they reveal to you something that
like that private?
Something private. Like
I say to them, there is no sin that will separate you from God except blasphemy. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you've done. Bring that problem and that sin or that disgrace to the Lord.
Yes,
He will accept you. When you study the, and I say, open your Bible. What did Jesus do? He was ministering to prostitutes. He was ministering to the religious fanatics. He was demon-possessed people. He was touching every life that none of the religious people wanted to touch. He was out there doing it.
Yeah.
And so you've got to realize you're the crowd He's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is looking for people like you who've been battered, broken, violated, you failed in your marriage, whatever. He is looking for you, and you can trust Him. If you come to Him, He'll meet your need.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to do that. And that's what I encourage them to do. Seek His face. He's looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not you looking for Him. He's looking for you.
Yeah.
And you bring yourself with all your agony and pain and heartache. Say, Jesus, I make that little woman in the well, by the well, and that's me. Would you help me? And He will. Mm-hmm. He'll help you. Mm-hmm. He will. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what He does, eh? Oh.
It is.
And it happens in this generation, in this day. Yes. Mm-hmm. He does it. Yep. Yep.
Talk to me about your spiritual practices. Everybody's got their own rhythm, their own...
Sure.
Their own walk with God. Some people, they don't pray unless they're driving alone in their car.
Yeah.
You know, other people, they have a daily routine. Other people, they need to go, you know, sit under the trees. You know, there's all of these different things. But what about you? What's your spiritual practice?
My spiritual practice was once God found me and started to change my, was to get up early in the morning hours and seek His face. Mm-hmm. Just wait before Him with the Word of God. Read and the devotional books and that, they opened my heart more and more to the Lord. And I got up and said, here I am, Lord, hungering, thirsting after You. Meet my needs. And He did. He came and met my needs. I had some marvelous experiences. The renewing within was a beautiful part. And so as I'm driving down the highway, sure, I'd be driving along down the highway singing praises to God and worshiping Him. And I think as I kept worship, mm-hmm. at the center of my life, that's what made the difference, because the Holy Spirit renews you as you worship the Lord.
Yes.
So I read the Word, apply it to my life, and go to worship. Yeah.
Yeah.
I made it a practice constant every day, every morning early. And I wake up in the night even, be worshiping God and praising. So mm-hmm. I think you have to develop whatever your lifestyle is, and maybe it's different for different people, but a practice of having time with God on a daily basis. Not Sunday to Sunday, but 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a relationship with the Lord, and I confess my sins before Him. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So do it, confess it, and get on with your walk. Yeah, it's a marvelous experience, it really is. And it's maybe a little bit different for each one of us, mm-hmm. but at least we keep our eyes on Jesus and follow Him. Yeah, and worship Him. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If you never went to church again at 86, you'd be fine with the Lord. You would still have that relationship.
That relationship,
But you still go to church.
Well, sure. And there could be somebody sitting in the church pew that I know, and I could talk to them and share faith with them, sure.
Yeah.
So no matter where I go, grocery store, the church, gas tank filled up, whatever. I mean, I take every opportunity I can. But she's smiling with them and friendly. Yeah. And then, here comes, and he's friendly. So I make sure I'm friendly and kind to them. And even at this whole house where Bev is, this place, I go in there and I wave at them all. I talk to them. And I think it's important to show kindness and love just like Jesus did and what He was condemned for out among the sinners, among the hurting mm-hmm. people, and they all condemned him, but there he was.
Yeah.
There he was right there, ministering to those in need. Eh? And that's what we're supposed to be doing in the church. It isn't like satisfy all the saints, let the old timers just sit there and sing the songs they want to sing. It's come with an open heart to minister to each other. Maybe your brother or sister is going through something. Stand by them. Be there. Mm-hmm. Be there. We're supposed to be there. And I think that's the key. I really do. Being there.
Mark, you and I both know some old people.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah. And there's two kinds of old people I've seen. One old person gets very self-absorbed, very concerned about all of their issues, their comfort, very embittered by life, shut down, miserable.
Yep, that's right.
Unkind. And there's others where they get old, but their eyes are soft.
That's right.
You got soft eyes, my friend.
Sure, I want them to be that way.
Yeah.
Your dad, it's the same.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So as you prepare to get old, you know, what's going to keep you tender and soft?
I think my walk with God, my relationship with Him, facing the hardships of life, driving me to prayer, keeping me at the altar. I think my relationship with God will be the very thing mm-hmm. that will keep me going through the storms and the difficulties and the hazards of life. And it'll show my grandchildren and my daughters that there's hope. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep trusting God. And I have them on my prayers. They know I pray for them every day that God will meet their needs and guide them and show them the way to go. So it's a matter of just making yourself available first to God and then to your family and to anybody that comes across your path.
Yeah.
Just witness and share God's love. Yeah. That's the whole thing, really. Yep. And I think you have to encourage people to seek God and give them an opportunity to don't kill yourself. Don't get mad and blame everybody. Go along with God. Get along with God and seek His face and watch what He'll do for you.
Yeah.
Be amazed.
Yeah.
Be amazed. Yep.
When we find ourselves in that eternal state, heaven, the new earth, being with those saints that have died before us and being reunited. If you had to think of a short list of people that are there that you're going to see again, who would be, just a short handful? Give me some names of people on the other side that you'll see again.
That look forward to seeing again?
Yeah.
John Richardson, Jack Hozard, Frank Phillips, let me think now, Bob Johnson, the pastor in Montreal, when I work with Teen Haven, Lloyd Johnson, who was at Teen Challenge in those old days, Graydon Richards, who was the general executive of Pen Ben, all these key people that were involved in my life, wonderful people.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
Hey, I made it. You didn't think I would, but I'm here. But no. And I think all the clouds will be removed and we'll see what people have been doing and we'll be so grateful for what God has allowed us to do.
There'll be maximum clarity. There'll be no pretense.
No pretense. Everything will be real. All this stuff will be taken away and the real you will be showing up. Your relationship with God, and you look back, and that's why you want to maintain that relationship with the Lord. I don't want to suddenly the clouds to be lifted away, and that turkey, he's still, I want to, it's more, he's here.
Yeah,
that's what I want to be. I want to have that kind of a relationship with people, and it's vital for us. Mm-hmm. If the church would get back to the relationship thing and share their life with others and love people, and don't look at their sin, look at their need. Sure, we're all kinds of sin, but what led them to it? What caused it? Many times their childhood, the way they were raised.
Yeah.
So take that into account. Don't excuse them, but say, deal with it. Get the help you need and deal with that so that you can be free to serve the Lord. That's the key. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad I've let the Lord do that.
Your your mother.
Yeah.
Is she there?
She's there.
Yeah.
She made a lot of mistakes, a lot of bad choices, and she was under tremendous pressure. And I forgave her for everything she allowed to happen to me, but I stuck by her and stayed with her to help her raise the kids. And I was glad I did that. And I wasn't even there when she died. I was traveling, and so I missed that. But she had a good heart. She made a lot of wrong choices, and God forgave her, I believe it. Mm-hmm. And she was doing some teaching and preaching again, yeah. So that's marvelous. We write them off. No, let God restore them. Give them back a gift. And there's so much can be done with a broken life that we need to realize. Don't put them down. Encourage them, because they can have a living testimony. That's the key. Yeah, a living testimony.
What about your stepfather, Cyrus Witt?
Yeah.
He was an abusive alcoholic. His favorite thing to call you was the black bastard.
That's right.
Why did he call you a black bastard?
My hair was, and my complexion was much darker than any other members of the family.
Yeah.
All the girls were the lighter, and I was dark.
Yeah.
And he knew that anybody that looked at, saw me, they, where'd he come from? You know, that kind of thing. So he was upset about that. And I feel sorry for him, because he wanted to marry my mom and raise the three kids. And then she skipped away and got pregnant, comes back, and then brings the baby with her. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to raise that baby. So I guess in today's society, you say, put it up for adoption.
Yeah.
But I'm glad she didn't, because I went through all I went through in order to glorify God in the long haul. And so I kind of feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for him. I think that my mother, I said to Mom, did you ever talk to him about the Lord? She said, I prayed for them before he died. I prayed for him. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. I hope and pray he responded, because I didn't know. And I said, if he's in heaven, that's marvelous. I'm not mad at him. I see him saved by Jesus. Oh,
yeah.
It'd be a miracle. So, I don't know if he did that. I don't know. But he was much nicer with me. We didn't talk, but he was much better with me after he got sick. Mm-hmm. And I stuck home. The older ones all left. And I stayed home to help mom with the kids. So I think he appreciated that. He probably realized he made a mistake in the way he treated me. But he never said he was sorry, of course. Yeah. That's just him. And it hurt his reputation. He had medals and he was a hero. And so, I mean, in that sense, I can understand it. Just that he handled it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, I don't hold that against him. No.
Yeah.
No. He would have killed me if he could have. Oof.
Yeah.
Yep. My old body would be still floating down that river. Oh, dear.
So when you are reunited with your mom.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, all things will be complete and whole. From this side of eternity, though, are there things that you wish you could talk to your mom about?
Yeah, I wish I could have encouraged her. So, Mom, why would you go over there and get involved with an American and then come back pregnant? And here's an opportunity for you to marry a guy. But she was afraid of my stepfather. She was afraid.
Yeah.
So at any rate, he was violent. He got angry. And so she... But to think that she keyed me, knowing that he was violent, and I don't know whatever possessed her to do it. She must have thought she had it. But then she did leave me out in the woods to die in the grass.
Yeah.
And one of my aunts, I guess, found me. And then everybody said, why did she just give you away? I said, but she did send me to my uncle's farm in the summer, so there'd be less pressure on home for him when I'm not there. So at any rate, but then I got battered and abused at the farm. So, it didn't matter where I was going, I wasn't wanted. So it's marvelous to know you weren't wanted here, you weren't wanted there. Nobody cared about you. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came to your life in the midst of all that and transformed you. Oh,
he wants
staggering. You. Staggering. Yeah, it is.
It is. Yeah. What I asked this earlier about legacy and but let me just ask again one last thought about the message of your life, mm-hmm. that if you only had one more chance to sit down and have a spiritual impact on somebody's life.
Yeah.
You know, what's the message for you?
My message would be, Jesus loves you. He proved it. When he hung on that cross, died for the sins of every sinner who will respond to his love, he died for you. Don't miss your opportunity to get to a relationship with the living God and have him renew your life and give you a purpose for living. Bring all that garbage, put it in a bag and bring it and put it before the Lord. Say, there it is, Lord. I hate, I'm mad, I'm ready to kill. Here it is. And I want to be yours. And I want to be your servant. And that's the difference. But you've got to take the mask off and be brutally honest with yourself first. And then you take it to God. Don't worry what other people think. What does God think? And that's why when people get converted, people say, what, he's a Christian? Because they've taken it off and they've gone to the Lord and they don't care what other people think. And that's the key. You have to just commit yourself to the Lord and not worry about people. You gotta. You do. And that's what I did. And he helped me. He really did. Yep, he really did.
Yeah.
Been a real adventure. Wow, I shake my head in amazement.
Yeah. Maury, this has been good.
Okay.
Do you think we should turn those cameras on and start recording now?
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's good rehearsal, wouldn't you say?
Are you ready for the gun that I got under the desk?
I understand you're already forgiven.
Oh, yeah, I'm already forgiven, I'm sure. Oh, my goodness.
He used my trick, Kevin.
Yeah, it's been boring for him going through all this, eh?
He's influenced me a lot.
Has he? Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry about that, he says. Sorry about that. Oh, my goodness.
I so enjoyed spending a couple days with Maury Blair. I've known Maury since I was just a young kid in youth group, and all these years have watched his development in ministry. And even though he's 86 years old, I think there's still some breath in his lungs, and he's gonna just keep on telling his story, and he's gonna keep on loving people, and there's no telling where Maury is going to be next. On our next episode, I've got a good friend in Brian Eggert. Brian is the director of Mission Canada. And our next session will feature one of his plenary sessions at the Our City Windsor Conference that took place earlier this year. I just want to make a side note here and say how important Mission Canada is to me personally, but I believe also to the greater good of Canada. Mission Canada, I've been with now for just over a decade, and the fact that I've been able to do this podcast for the last 5 years is due largely to my relationship to Mission Canada. The people that I get to meet, the travels I get to make, have just exposed me to a world of good happening across Canada. Kudos to Mission Canada. You can look them up on the PAOC website and learn more about them. So come back again, will you, for our next episode of Sidewalk Skyline Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kevin Rogers.
Studio 61.